Chapter 4. The interrogator droid hovers. A small panel along its bottom slides open with a whir and a click. An extensor arm unfolds. An arm that ends in a pair of cruel-looking pincers. So precise and so sharp, they look like they could pluck a man's eye clean from his head. A performance this droid has likely performed once upon a time. The arm reaches down toward its target. It grabs the 10-sided die, lifts it, drops it. The die clatters, face up, a 7. The droid exclaims in a loud, digitized monotone,
"Ah, I am afforded the chance to procure a new resource. I will buy a spice lane. That connects to my 4 other spice lanes. That gives me 5 total, which grants me 1 victory point. I am now winning. The score is 6-5.
Temin's lips curl into a frustrated frown. The board beneath the two of them consists of a map of countless hexagonal territories. Some of the hexes contain planets, others stars or asteroid belts or nebulae. He has never won a game of galactic expansion against the repurposed interrogator droid. But he's close now. It's never been this close.
Ease off the throttle, you overconfident Borgo Ball. 1 point does not make you a conqueror.
He rolls the die. A 5. Ugh, not enough to earn him a new resource. But he can place a new shipping lane or a smuggler route. He has to think about this. He leans back on the chair, lets his eyes gaze over the workshop and market. All around, shelves and tables, mounded with what looks to be junk. And a lot of it is. Astromech parts, starship scrap, disassembled blasters. Over in the corner is a WED repair droid, long defunct, wound up with blinking, twinkling lights. Hanging above his head from a set of braided cables is a speeder bike scored with laser marks. And there, against the far wall, is an old Trade Federation battle droid, scrunched down into its folded-up form and wrapped up in a ratty blanket. It's not one of the B-2s, the war droids with the cannons on the forearms and the hard chest plating. It's not one of the droidicas either. Those roly-poly death machines, as if a jungle scorpion had a baby with a rolling thermal detonator. It's just an old B-1. A clanker. Everything here is, or looks like, a clanker. Temin picks up a smuggler route tile, marked with a red dotted line, and he's about to place it when the interrogator droid suddenly turns, as if to face somebody.
"You have customers,"
the droid intones.
Temin cracks his knuckles and stands up, plastering on his best salesman smile.
The young teen kicks his rolling chair away and turns to face a trio of thugs. His smile wavers, but only for a second.
"A Kurivar, an Athorian, and an Ebonito enter a junk shop," he says, cracking wise.
They don't seem amused.
"It's like the start of a joke,"
Temin says, then adds,
"But if you have to explain it, it sort of stops being funny."
He claps his hands.
"What can I do for you, gents?" "I am a lady,"
the Kurivar snaps, stepping forward. She adjusts her crimson cloak and lifts her chin. The spiraling horn atop her head is twisted and bent. A pale tongue flicks the air and licks craggy scaled lips. She has a long serrated knife hanging at her hip. Temin knows who she is. Who all 3 of them are. The Ebonito with the fleshy nose slits and the skin tendrils around that scowling, puckered mouth. Tumatari, known usually as Tombs. The Athorian, with the sleepy eyes, the threadbare coat, the cannon slug over his tree branch-looking shoulder, Herf. And the Kurivar, Macario Graven. Though, truth be told, Temin really thought she was a he. The Kurivar don't make it easy to tell. All 3 work for, or rather belong to, Sarat Nuat. They are the Celestin's property.
"Ma'am,"
Temin says, spreading his arms wide,
"what can I do for you today? What junkyard delights can I offer you?
Hot the rancor spit, you little puke,
the Ebonito says. In the alien's tongue, the Ithorian adds,
You have stolen from the goodly savior of Mira, Surat Nurat.
Hey, no, Temen says, holding up his hands. We're all friends here. I would never, ever steal from Surat. We're buddies. It's all good.
You stole from Surat,
the Kuravar hisses.
Worse, you have offended him with grave insult by taking what is rightfully his.
Temen knew this day would come, just not so soon. A nervous feeling rises in his belly.
The last thing I would want to do is insult Surat. We all could only wish we were as savvy and as slick as he is. I don't know what you think I stole from him, but...
Makario the Kuravar takes another assertive step forward.
Think hard about what happened on the Trabzon Road. Does that tickle your brain stem?
Temen snaps his fingers, a nervous habit he picked up from his father.
You mean the transport that crashed out there? No. I mean, yeah, yes. I definitely scavenged what was left there. I own that. That one's on me. But I had no idea that was Surat's ship.
It had its guild sigil all over it.
Tombs the Ebonito seethes. The ringlets of skin hanging from his face twitch and tremble as he speaks.
Not that I could see. The transport was attacked by the Ugtin. Such primitives, you know. They burned that thing good on the outside. Roasted it like a flora keep before plucking its feathers.
And yet the insides were ripe for your plunder,
Makario accuses.
They couldn't crack that nut. The Ugtin, I mean. Their crude knives couldn't pop the latch. But I had a torch, and...
He fake laughs.
I beseech you, friends. I didn't know who I was taking from.
He knew. Of course he knew. And he knew one day this would catch up to him. But the potential payout. If ever he hopes to unseat Surat, he has to play the games with big moves. No weak-kneed bowing and scraping. No soft touches. No hesitant plays. Everything big. Bold. Smart as a whip. Strong as a bull.
You still have the weapon?
Tombs asks. Temen clears his throat and then lies through clenched teeth.
Not so much.
The Kuravar's eyes go wide, with rage and indignation, if Temen has to guess. Makario moves fast. The knife is off the alien's belt, and in the span of a flash of lightning, against Temen's throat. Outside, the weather complies, adding its own threat, a rumbling boom of thunder. A hard rain falls against the roof of Temen's shop, only serving to accentuate the silence. Behind Temen, the interrogator droid hovers near the table where the galactic expansion board sits. The boy swallows.
I'll make it up to you. I've got lots on offer here. Hey, look, speeder bike. Or I can scrounge up a couple of droids.
This is all junk,
Makario says.
Surat knows your trick. And so we know your trick. This.
With her free hand, the Kuravar makes a move similar to, and maybe mocking of, Temen's own gesture when they got here.
All of this is a front. You are no junk merchant.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
The knife presses harder against his exposed throat.
We care nothing for trash. We care everything for treasure.
So let's talk treasure then.
Surat has a price.
He feels something wet drip down his throat. Blood or sweat? He's honestly not sure.
Everybody does. Name the price.
Makario smiles. A terrible sight to behold. For the Kuravar are, to Temen's mind, uglier than a hapabore walking backward.
All those lumps and scales. A nose like a fat, segmented grub. Bone spurs above the eyes. Oof, the breath doesn't help either. It stinks of rotting meat. The Korovar says with a flick of her tongue.
Your shop.
The shop? Like the building?
And everything in it. And everything below it.
Now, real panic. A cold saline rush through his blood. They know. They know where he keeps some, most of his best goods. That is not ideal.
I have something,
he blurts.
Something big. Something Sarat wants. Okay? Okay, just can I show you? Please? Please.
The three alien thugs give one another looks. The Ithorian, Herf, gives a noncommittal shrug. In Ithorese,
we might as well see.
Macario removes the knife from his throat. He gasps,
rubs his neck.
His hand comes away wet with sweat, not with blood. He claps his hands.
It's right over there. See that ratty blanket? It's under there.
Macario nods to Herf. The Ithorian unslings the cannon. It's a custom mod job, that gun. Based off a DLT body, but jacked up for bigger firepower. The barrel is long. So long, it's probably as tall as Temin. The stoop-necked Ithorian blinks his hammerhead eyes, then uses the barrel of the gun to lift up the blanket, thus exposing the first-generation battle droid, the B-1. It stands up. Its bones rattle as it does. Literal bones. The bones of beasts, fish, birds, bound to its metal limbs with twine and wire. Those aren't the only modifications to the droid's appearance, either. Half its head is missing, replaced with a telescoping red eye. The front of its nose has been sharpened and curved, less the bill of some plucky waterfowl, more the beak of a bird of prey, all of it painted black and red, meant to strike a note of fear. The alien thugs all laugh. The Abenito laughs so hard he stoops over, slapping a knee, little green mushroom ears twitching with delight.
A battle droid?
Macario asks, more laughter.
You wanted to show us a battle droid? The most incompetent droid soldier in the history of both the Republic and the Empire? A mechanical comedy of errors?
The way the alien enunciates that last bit, a mechanical comedy of errors.
And you believe that Surat Nuat wants a meager, worthless B-1 droid?
I call him Mr. Bones, Temin says.
Upon saying the droid's name, its eye glows a sinister red.
Mr. Bones is online,
the droid says. Its voice is a grinding distortion, interrupted by bursts of static. Words speed up and then slow down again, mangled by what seems a faulty vocoder.
Hello, everyone.
The Abenito shakes his head.
An idiotic name for an idiotic droid.
I think you've insulted him,
Temin says. The laughing stops for just a moment as they try to figure out what that even means, or what game Temin is even playing. Their hesitation is not wise. Mr. Bones cackles, a scratchy, warped laugh from his speakers, as his one hand swings free on a hinge. From the hole springs a sparking, vibrating blade. The Ithorian is slow to react, and by the time Herf is bringing up his DLT cannon, Bones has whipped his arm back 3 times already, and the cannon is whittled down, 3 smoldering bits clattering to the floor. The Abenito draws a blaster. Bones tackles Herf and slams him straight into Tombs. The Abenito flails and falls, with the Ithorian landing on top of him, and Bones on top of him. Temin's B1 bodyguard begins pounding both fists down, punching the Ithor's oddly shaped head hard enough that each hit ratchets it back into Toomz' noseless face. Mr. Bones gavels and laughs. Makariel's maw stretches wide, hissing a gassy exhortation of distress and rage. The Korovar reaches behind, under her cloak, and draws a blaster, pointing it right at Temin's head. Temin, who is now frozen, reaching for his own blaster, stuck in a leather holster bolted to the underside of a nearby table.
"Do not pick that up,"
Makariel whispers. Temin calculates his odds. They're not good. He withdraws his hand, smiles, nods.
"Sure, sure.
Tell your droid to back off."
"Now hold on."
"Tell him."
Temin grins.
"Which droid are we talking about here?"
Makariel's pale, ghostly eyes focus, then narrow in bewilderment. Just as the interrogator droid floats up behind her, a syringe fixed to the end of its second extensor arm. Temin chuckles. The floating droid stabs down with a needle filled with a toxic narcotic, locally sourced, locally brewed, and with enough stopping power to put a Gamorrean to sleep for the better part of a week. The needle snaps off and clicks as it hits the ground, never actually delivering its toxic payload.
"Right, right,"
Temin thinks, with no small disappointment.
"The Korovar have really hard skin, don't they?"
Temin runs. He leaps up over a table, then to another table, then across a trio of metal stools. Blaster fire sizzles in the air behind him, knocking junk off shelves. An oil can hops off the corner of a table ahead of him. Temin yells as he bolts for the door. There, ahead, the door is open. Someone is standing there. Someone new. Long, dark cloak. Someone with a blaster all his own. The new figure raises the blaster. Temin drops his weight, letting his legs skid out from under him. Laser fire trades above his head, and somewhere behind him, Makariel yelps in pain. There comes a crash. Temin leaps to his feet, presses himself flat against the textured wall of his junk shop. Makariel's down, writhing and howling. Mr. Bones has lifted his head like a curious, startled hound. The new visitor regards the situation, then peels back his hood. It's not a him at all. It's a her. Temin's eyes go wide.
"Mom?"